Markets rebound after yesterday's sell-off. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Wall Street opened up this morning, shrugging off trade concerns that fueled one of the biggest drops on the Dow and S&P 500 since January. Even though the U.S. and China each announced new tariffs, escalating the stakes in the trade war, the parties are saying they plan to keep working towards an eventual deal. Julian Emanuel is chief equity and derivative strategist at BTIG. Good morning.
Good morning.
After all those losses yesterday, what's different today?
In our view, it's basically a change in tone. There was definitely stress yesterday, whether it was the urgency of the selling or, in fact, the political dialogue. And over the last 12 hours or so, that seems to have eased off. And there's this notion that both the U.S. and China are likely to go back to the drawing board and eventually work out a deal over the next 45 days or so.
Are markets getting tired of the back and forth on trade, seemingly hawkish comments from the administration, and then more conciliatory ones a few hours later?
It is definitely wearing on market participants, no question. I think that was part of yesterday's sell-off. And eventually, as we get closer to the start of the summer, basically into June, when the market tends to slow down anyway, people will try to tune out a little bit more and let fundamentals carry the way they're thinking about equity markets.
And this has kind of been the story, that things look bad and then they go back to the table. And that might be behind these small business optimism numbers that we have this morning, which reached a four-month high in April.
Yeah, no question about it. And actually, it's small business optimism surprised to the upside. Granted, it was before this last round of trade tensions crept in. But what it tells you is that ultimately there's a belief among corporate America, small business America, that the economy continues to stay strong. And we do see that, in terms of the employment picture and in terms of the income picture. So despite the tensions, there is an underlying optimism about the future of the economy.
Julian Emanuel is Chief Equity and Derivatives Strategist at BTIG. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And research out this morning says the benefits of preschool can last from one generation to another. The study focused on children whose parents went to an experimental preschool program more than 50 years ago. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The Perry Preschool was an experiment in the 1960s. Take 123 African-American kids from low-income families, enroll half in preschool with the other half as a control group. The Perry Preschoolers learned so-called soft skills, paying attention, focusing, self-control. Allison Balaus works with researchers analyzing Perry data at the University of Chicago. She says the Perry kids chose how to play and talked with teachers about it.
So if there was Play-Doh or somebody was making Jell-O in the kitchen or dramatic play, that there would just be a lot of discussion about that with the children.
Surprise, surprise, those soft skills helped the Perry preschoolers get better jobs and have more stable marriages. Rich Niemand of the Niemand Collaborative helps manage the Perry research. He says the new study compared the Perry preschoolers' kids to the kids of parents in the control group.
All children of Perry participants spend three times the amount of time in a home with two parents through young adulthood.
And around 60% of the Perry preschoolers' children were never arrested, compared to around 40% for the kids of the control group. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible.
The final and biggest week of the upfronts is underway in New York. The big broadcast networks are unveiling their new shows to advertisers, who can then lock in their ad buys up front. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishor reports, TV networks are still pulling in billions despite shrinking ratings and increasing competition.
At least 38 million people have watched the season 8 premiere of Game of Thrones. You know where they watched it? Not on network TV. That's where. TV audiences are shrinking. Despite that, the big four networks have been charging more for advertising over the last several years.
I do expect that advertising pricing in traditional television will continue to increase.
Matt Collins is with Simulmedia. Last year, networks and cable TV channels hauled in $20 billion in ad revenue, up 5% from the season before.
Viewership is in a slow decline, but you still have, by far, the broadest possible reach.
TV's losing viewers, but at the end of the day, more people still watch traditional TV than anything else. Also, the Netflixes out there, the HBOs, they don't have ads, so it's getting harder for advertisers to reach mass audiences. Network TV then becomes all the more valuable.
It is a supply and demand marketplace.
Mike O'Connor is with Horizon Media. So an industry that's losing viewers is still the best option for a lot of advertisers. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
And also in entertainment news this morning, Disney and Comcast have worked out a deal regarding the online streaming service Hulu. Disney will take control of Comcast's 33% stake in the company, with the promise that Disney will value Hulu at a minimum of $27.5 billion when Comcast actually sells, which could happen as early as 2024. This deal gives Disney complete control of Hulu. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.